Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today. He is a data guy who has been into growth and marketing, leading teams and leading companies in all kinds of growth efforts. He has been a founder and a CEO and a lead data scientist. And today he is founder and CEO of Arcana AI. Arjun Badesi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Thomas. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Me too. And so let's start off by understanding the problem that you're solving. And let's just, before we get to the solution at all, let's take some time to steep ourselves in what is the problem and what is the struggle that we're going to be approaching today?
Absolutely. Our mission is to make data-driven decisions for businesses as easy and reliable as possible. And to just like double click on this a little bit more, right? There is data, and then there is this huge chasm, and then there is these business leaders who want to make decisions based on this data. They need information about what exactly happened, why did it happen, when will it happen again, how could we have avoided it. The translation from these huge tables of ones and zeros to this is the story is a huge chasm, which has not been able to fill so far. And that's what we want to do.
And so it's a huge chasm for multiple reasons, isn't it? Because if you have a big company, are we talking about big companies, big organizations here, even a small organization?
Yeah, big organizations everywhere.
And so the issue is you're collecting lots of data, probably, right? But you're collecting lots of data. Somehow the data is being stored. Different people over different times set up different data collection systems. They're not necessarily thinking about how they're going to organize it at the time that they set it up. And you just end up with just lots and lots of data. And then here comes a business leader who needs to make decisions. They need to understand the state of affairs. They need to look at this data. And it's just hard to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And even over time, as you are able to sort data out, you need translators. A good way that the world has been translating this in the last 15 years has been dashboards, BI dashboards that say, you know what, you care about these 4-6 metrics. We will get you a dashboard that will help you track which of them are going up or which of them are going down and make your peace with understanding what may be happening here to drive a decision. If you can't do that, go knock on the doors of your data teams, like data scientists or analysts who can do the translation by going a level deeper, another level deeper to really uncover what is happening. So it is, there are these gaps where dashboards are inflexible and these data teams who are actually supposed to build like valuable models that can help with prediction or with reducing churn, so on and so forth, have become glorified data assistants because business leader needs an answer and they need translation. They want to know what to change, which channel to change, what by how much. And we want to eliminate all of that gap so that data scientists have a much more elevated role than having to answer questions.
Okay, so the world you're painting for me is, okay, let's say if I'm an executive and I say, hey, I need to know all of this information about these different areas. Somebody builds me one or more dashboards. And then, but I don't understand the dashboards, or maybe the dashboards have gaps in what I need versus what's on the dashboard. And then, so I've got to walk over to the data science cubicles and say, hey, can you give me a report on this area of stuff? And so you're saying that the data scientists in that case are, they're not delivering as much value as they could, in essence.
Yes, because all they're having to do is answer questions like, what happened last week during the same day? Or what happened last year during the same month? Did we spend as much on the other channels? Could we see if that segment was actually underperforming or was it overperforming? And then there are these series of questions that you want to really get answers to before you know what the problem is. And that's why data scientists and data analysts are glorified data assistants. I played that role for 15 years and I was like, there has to be a better way to do it.
Got you. And so if we take a step to back to the dashboard part, in your opinion, how much of that problem is that we're doing a dashboard at all, or is it the way we tend to approach dashboards? Is there not enough effort put into researching and designing what the dashboard ought to be, or do you think that dashboards as a medium is lacking?
Dashboards as a medium is lacking. It's static. If you want to see just another segment, a slightly double-click breakdown by maybe a monthly chart, you want to see, hey, how did is every second week every month going down? You want to like double-click and say, can I show a weekly setup? And either it's self-built, which basically means the business leaders now have to learn how to like really go from a monthly dashboard to a weekly one. And even if that is done, they want to be like, now, is there a segment within these which is actually not happening? Are they from which part of the funnel do they come from? So the inflexibility really is the problem. Staring at it to get a high-level view of, are all my key metrics performing as per the plan, is not a bad idea. Dashboards is a very good starting point there. But from there to decisions is where the big gap lies.
Okay, so you're seeing an opportunity in this world of dashboards and folks just hobbling together solutions, and then where executives still have to rely on asking someone, can you tell me this specific thing? Where, what was the revenue of this channel last year, this time? Are we doing better or worse? Okay, so now let's lead that into Arcana.
Awesome. The way we do it is to say you have a question, you want an answer to the question. That's exactly why you go to the dashboard. That question that you think about is a natural language. Why don't you, if you had a data scientist on your fingertips at your disposal at 6 a.m. or 9 p.m. on a Sunday, and you want to just ask that question just the way you think, and have this product understand your question and then give a reliable answer, that solves 99% of the problems. Because you don't ask a question and stop there. As soon as you get an answer, you want to ask another follow-up. You want to get another follow-up to just get deeper into understanding what you need to do. Because your metrics, say revenue, is there, and there are like at least six, if not eight, layers on the stuff that you can control to really drive that revenue.
Okay, and then I think where we're leading to this is your IP is on AI that allows people to ask these queries at any time, and essentially they can get the answers that they want.
Yes, a mix of AI and non-AI. Like the not AI part is something that I want to harp on a little bit more. Because the world suddenly thinks of AI as a panacea. It can do everything for you. And here, AI, they mean Gen AI. And the world is building in, is just running behind leveraging AI or Gen AI in a way which it's not designed to be done because it's cool, but it's not going to be useful. And the reason why I just emphasize on this so much is 90% of our effort has gone into building everything non-AI, non-Gen AI, because we knew there are only a tiny set of things that it can do reliably. And if you want a product that is reliable, which is an analytics product, which the only purpose is to make it reliable and accurate, you have to control for everything else, which basically made us spend 18 months, if not more, to build everything to make Gen AI a vehicle, but not the engine itself.
Okay, so this is where this conversation is getting very interesting to me, because I was interested in where you're going to go with this, which is if I think, oh, AI data with the problem that's been laid out, it's hard to find the questions that I want an answer to. Someone needs to solve it with AI. So then you imagine taking something like a ChatGPT styled LLM, throwing a whole bunch of data at it, and then saying, okay, great, you've got the data. And now I'm just going to start asking questions, and you will magically know the answer to these and be able to get them to me. But you're highlighting something more. You're talking about there's something beyond the AI, something, and I'm getting the impression that's what makes you guys unique and special beyond just crudely throwing a whole bunch of data tables at an LLM. So walk us through the special area of value that you're adding beyond the, just the language model looking at data.
Yeah. So if I can paint a picture, imagine two boxes. There is one box, which is a huge box of Gen AI. And then there is a thin layer called application wrapped around it. They're hoping that the application does the translation and Gen AI does the thinking, the code generation, the execution, the reasoning, and the answers, the insights. That is a GPT wrapper. That's the world. That's 99% of the companies. What we have done is we have built a huge big box called an analytics engine. It's a logic-based reasoning framework in Python that we've built over the last 18 months, having tiny modular analytics functions which can be parameterized, a reasoning layer on top of that to answer questions, say, for growth and marketing, saying, how does a growth org function? What is the math that needs to happen across these metrics? And then there is a context, which is what kind of business rules you need to apply. What kind of constraints does this business actually operate? Because the answer will only then be actionable. And then on this, around this tiny box is our shiny GPT. So we have wrapped GPT around our application, not the other way around. So just because we've done this, with every time GPT getting better, our products get shinier. Our product gets more attractive. Our product gets lets lot more usability. In the other case, because GPTs are being used for everything, it's very likely that GPTs will expand even slightly and the application layer is going to disappear. And that's the difference. That's where the core needs to be non-LLM so that it's reliable and have a nice wrap around it so that it is easy for people to communicate and then lean on analytics using the engine.
Okay, I want to make sure that I've captured that word you used and for the audience and myself to understand. Dapper, GPT, is that what you were talking
Dapper.
About?
Yeah, it's a wrapper.
Oh, wrapper with a W. Okay, because I'm also looking at other products like with the, use the word Dapper with a D. But essentially that, yeah. So what you're saying is like where all the brains of the outfit is the ChatGPT, and you just use that. You just fast forward your way to that and then say, oh, instead of them doing with a chat application, we're going to build this stuff on top of that. But that's expensive, though. It gets you there quicker from a development perspective, things that would take you years to build. You can get it much faster. But you're talking about you built a core app and then the GPTs around that. Let's double click on that a little bit, because when you're talking about the core app, that's the logic, that's the business thinking, is something specific to business. How does that really, what is that core? Can you describe that again? You described it already, but can you clarify?
So think about this, three layers. The bottommost layer is a series of analytics functions, like what math can be done. There's a math that can be done to remove seasonality. There's a math that can be done to remove outliers. There's a math that can be done to identify mean, median, mode. There is 25 or maybe 100 other kind of math that you can do for a given metric type. Some metrics you can just average out. Some metrics you have to sum the numerator, sum the denominator, then average. Some metrics are by default cannot be used for, say, taking means, so on and so forth. So that's the bottommost layer. That's the analytics functions. On top of that sits a set of logic slash reasoning that includes how growth marketing runs, or what really happens when you increase spend or decrease spend. How exactly is that typically translating into revenue for a digital marketing channel, for linear TV or a OTT? What really happens when customers move from, say, an acquisition funnel to an activation funnel, so on and so forth. So this is what business context for that org would look like. And then there is one layer that sits on top of that, which is what matters to this business? Do they want to maximize growth? Do they want to maximize profits? Do they want to spend 100 to 150 million in the next 1 year? Do they want to spend on certain channels or certain segments? So on and so forth. All of these are needed for a product to function like how a data scientist sitting on your team would, because they would know, oh, this is the metric, this is the math I can do. I know these are the two things that the company cares about, and then translates that into an answer. So as long as this happens all the time with full repeatability, you don't have a product that has legs.
Gotcha. That's amazing. So then the top layer, is that a chat interface?
So this is still in the box, which is business rules interface, which is still configurable YAML files, which are that we type in code. Around that is the chat interface to get a question or get another like natural language prompt, even in voice. And then you translate that to be like, hey, if this is what I heard, what should I relay back to this engine that sits in the center so that it can run and execute the math that it is? So LLMs or the wrapper is only supposed to translate natural language to a structured question or a query. Once that happens, everything else runs repeatably.
So when you get new clients, is the structuring process long and complicated, or is that quick?
It is quick, and the reason it is quick is because we are being super focused. We are going after growth and marketing departments. We're going up after pharma and telecom. And these help us know that, you know what, these are the 25 kind of metrics, these are the 10 kind of sources. And it just helps translate that as a data scientist sitting in that team.
When your users are using the product and they're sitting down at their screen in front of it, what are they primarily interacting with? Is it an interface that's almost like a SaaS with charts and other widgets, or is it mostly the chat kind of interface? What are they looking at and what are they interacting with?
We have two versions of it. One is like a recommendation slash alerts, which basically is how the digital marketing teams start their day. They start their day with saying, it's like a news bulletin that really captures what are the things that are breaking, what are the things that are going really well, what would you want to double click onto. So this is where they start their day to understand, instead of staring at 25 charts and maybe missing something which is going down, everything is bubbled up in a very easy to consume story. The second interface, as soon as you see this, your buck doesn't stop there. You're like, why did this happen? What should I do to change it? What if I increase spend here? What if I decrease spend here? All of these questions need to happen in a very unstructured way of thinking, because that's how you're thinking, and that's where the chat widget comes in. So this chat widget understands your question, responds with the analysis, right from saying, oh, this is how this cohort is performing. LTV is declining here, your duration is declining there. And then it also produces these charts or visuals on the fly to bring the story home. That's the interaction.
Nice. And what are your clients saying when they start using your product? What's their experience with how it impacts them and their business?
Two things. The digital marketing team is starting their day with the alerts. They're saying, hey, I like the alerts. Can you give me recommendations? We were like, sure, we'll give you recommendations, and this will be spend more, spend less. And they're like, can you be more prescriptive? Can you tell us, should we spend a 25K more here but tomorrow, or should we spend 125K more? Give us a directional number, but still give us a number. So this is what we're loving. The second thing which the clients are saying, which we love, is ROI. They're like, if we're following your recommendations, what would this look like? And we've been live for a large telecom client over the past 2 months, and we've delivered a 600% ROI. So with same amount of spend, just by giving you nuggets on what things are breaking, where would you want to go increase and decrease, because they run marketing across 70 countries. So right from currency changes to some of these devices in some of these countries performing or changing their software, they're missing on staying on top of it. That's what AI does. It's able, the product does. It runs analytics at scale, bubbles it up in a story format so that people are empowered to take decisions than to get lost in charts and plots.
Oh, I love it. And I can easily imagine like a team using ROI because they're like, let's be able to justify the work we do by being able to show the stakeholders how these dollars are being spent. And then as a company, are you to what extent are you close to PLG or self-serve setup and all on its own? And to what extent are humans still required to pick things up? And what are your goals in that area?
It's great that you asked. We're rolling out our beta for digital marketers because they have standardized platforms like the Metas of the world, TikToks of the world. They can just connect it. They have standardized metrics that they want to track. The math is standardized, but clients are different. Their performance is different. Their spend is different. So we are now doing a beta to eventually our ideal world, hopefully in the next 3 months, would be digital marketers being empowered with having a marketing analyst on their fingertips. They can translate stories faster. They don't have to spend so much time collating all of this data and go present it back to their customer saying, "This is how much we spent. This is what it's doing." That happened in a click of a button. Instead, they can just identify, go back and say, "You know what? Today I'm going to spend so much more in Meta than in TikTok because look, here's the trend that's rising, and this will help us get more money." So we are making it self-serve. We want to bring this into the hands of as many customers as possible, especially the ones who need to use data to make decisions and on track. Like we've just started to get the PLG route out.
Super exciting. So for everyone, that's Arcana. Let's give everybody the correct URLs. I think I have it, but arcana.ai or is Arcana Labs?
Arcana.ai.
Arcana, okay, I'm sorry, I was in a different one. Arcana.ai. Arcana.ai, everyone. Arcana.ai. And Arjun, let people know where they can find you.
Absolutely. Arjun at arcana.ai. Just email me for any questions that you may have. I'm on LinkedIn. And yeah, we have our LinkedIn page too on arcana.ai. Check that out.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Hope people check that out and can't wait to see where you grow in the coming months and years. Arjun, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Thomas. It was great.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.